Hello, and welcome to another episode of Bros 3 Podcast for January 31st, 2021. And how are you doing, fam? I say, how are you doing? I hope you're doing all right. For me, I'm hanging in there, just letting this funky groove ride with you on a Sunday. Waiting for that beat to drop. Yeah, that's a little Isaac Hayes. Set the mood off right, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. How you doing? I hope you're doing all right. And if you ain't, guess what? This is the perfect time to start doing it. I mean, there's some snow outside, but guess what? Pull up your galoshes, go out there and, you know, shovel your neighbor snow or something. Fortunately, I can't. My shovel broke. Like, that has been the week I've had. I've had simultaneously the best and worst week in recent memory. But that's fine. I mean, it's one of them things, like, you just sit back and you watch from a distance, like, yo, this is great. And then something happens not so great. You're like, ah, that's not so great. But overall, life is good, right? Can I get an amen, somebody? All right, yeah, real talk. So, okay, first things first. I got to do a retraction. So, the last podcast I did, or the one with Brother Number Two and Cousin Jay, Brother Number Two was telling a story about the house, the previous owners of this house, right? So Brother Number Two, for y'all don't know, that's my second brother. It's the Bros 3 Podcast. He's Brother Number Two. Brother Number Two has done very well for himself, and he might run for political office someday or something. So he likes his anonymity. He likes his anonymity, so in honor of that, I respect that. But at the same time, I'm making fun of him because he's, you know, affluent. He, you know, he has a career and stuff. He's on the fast track. I don't know what he does, but I make fun of him. He's posh now. Like, he grew up in the hood on ramen noodles, and now, you know, now he's eating Wagyu beef and whatnot. So I always, when I talk about him, I give him a posh accent. Right, so he came on the podcast, which is a treat because he doesn't do it very often. He's a busy guy. He comes on the podcast and he's telling me the story of this house, this previous, you know, the house I live in. He's like, you do know the story of this house, don't you? I'm like, no. He's like, oh, well, let me enlighten you. Well, apparently there was someone died in this house. I'm like, really? Like, are you serious? He's like, oh, yes, a ghastly affair, my good man. Apparently, there was a mentally ill person here, and they expired right over here. I was like, really? I didn't know that. And, did some checking on it. Somebody who knows the facts, they was like, Tony, that's entirely not true, and I demand a retraction on that story. So, I got contacted. They was like, that didn't happen. So, Brother Number Two, you know, he got his facts mixed up. But that's fine. It's cool. It happens to the best of us. I've been sitting here in the house since we ain't supposed to go nowhere. Been watching old movies. Well, not old movies, but just movies from a different time. Like, you know, this last year has been a different... Hold on for a second. It's my daughter. Yeah. Okay, give me a minute. I'm recording. Okay. That's my daughter. So anyway, I've been watching, like, movies from a different time. I can't say old movies necessarily. Like, just the movies from a year ago are not our reality now. Right? So we social distancing, masks, we don't go sit down in restaurants and stuff. And I was watching this movie where there was a scene where, one of the characters, it was their birthday, like a little kid birthday. So they end up bringing the cake to the kid, and you know, you light the birthday candle, like, happy birthday to you, you know the song, right? Light the candles, and this little kid, they put the cake in front of him and say, blow the candles out and make a wish. And the little kid blows all his breath on the candles go out, and if you got cool parents, like some people did, they put the trick candles on there. And you know, you're 5, 6 years old, you blow the candles out, you know how it was supposed to go. You blow the candles out, you made your wish, but the candles come back on. And you young, so you don't know how to deal with that, so they be like, go ahead and blow the candles again. Blow them out again. And the kid blows them out again, but they keep coming back on. I'm like, I think that's a bad trick to teach kids not to trust parents. But besides the point, the candles get blown out or taken out. And then from that, we would cut a piece of this cake that this little kid that then blew all his germs on. And then we'd give it to everybody at the party. It was almost like his breath made it official. It was his birthday. Eat his little germs. And kids don't be brushing their teeth good at 5, right? And then the thing is, we used to slide the cake to everybody. Even grandma with the autoimmune system problem and the little oxygen tank. You're like, here you go, Nana and Poppy, whatever. And they're like, oh, this is great. What is this? Nah, man, it's Corona cake. Well, now in the after times, or even seeing, like, we used to get dressed up and go to, like, concerts. You know what I'm saying? Well, sometimes you dressed up, sometimes you didn't. But you went to concerts, and, like, there'd be thousands of people singing along with the one guy. We all bought the record, so we know who's singing. We know all the words of the song. But because we like this person, this artist, this performer, we wanted to see them perform live. But we were surrounded by thousands of people. Everyone singing, Queen, We Are the Champion. Like, everybody, some dude got gingivitis in the back. Somebody ain't brushed their teeth. Somebody didn't did God know what in the parking lot. You know, they just, we are the champion, my friend. And then we all even do the guitar part. Bum, bum, bum. And we'll keep on fighting. We did that. We was blowing funky breath on the back of people. And now that's not a thing anymore. I remember going to the orchestra one time. Well, I went to the orchestra, but also I went to a gifted and talented school. So for extra credit, sometimes you can go to, like, you know, the band performances and stuff, and they were a great band. Like, they, you know, brass section, woodwinds, strings, and whatever else, the percussions. I think that's all of them. So they would warm up, and they would be doing their little scales, and then from there, they would just be spewing spittle, like, at the crowd. And at the end, we would applause, like, please give us more. Crazy. I remember seeing the grossest thing, like, at school, I was back in high school. One of the band, I won't call him a band geek, but one of the band majors had, like, the big one. It was brass. It swooped around and came out with a big horn in the front. Tuba, maybe? We'll say tuba. And I know someone's going, actually, it was a sousaphone. Whatever. The big one, right? And he had been practicing all hour because that's what they did. That was one of their classes. They would perform classical pieces and whatnot. And I remember walking by this dude, and I think it was after school, so we was, like, heading out. Walking by him, and on the outside, when we got outside the door, he hit this little valve, and all this spit came out. I was like, oh, man, what's that? He said, oh, that's a spit valve. I looked at him like, what? He said, when we play our instruments, because this instrument's so curvy, the spit will, saliva, spittle, whatever classy people want to say, it will gather at the bottom. So we got these valves to, like, just dump spittle all on the ground. Or, I guess, bucket. I don't know what fancy people did back in those days. But that's just the craziest thing to me. Like, but that's no longer the world anymore. You can't have people blowing tubas and trombones in your face. You know. I don't know. But I'm sure this situation has been advantageous for somebody. I was thinking about how it affected all of us, but somebody's got to be doing okay. And I was like, well, who could be prospering at this time? And it hit me like a lightning bolt. I was like, oh, I get it. The people who make panties. Hear me out now. Most people hate the word panties. Like one of the 10 hated words right next to moist. Like panties, moist, and something else. People who make panties. Like, because when the thing first started, the corona first started, those first masks was nothing but like t-shirt material, panty material. And I was just sitting there thinking, like, there's probably, let's just say lingerie for now. Undergarments, how about that? There was probably an undergarment business that's been making, like, pantaloons since 1920. You know, they've been making undergarments and those socks with the garters. They're making garter socks and pantyhose. I don't even think women wear pantyhose no more, but making all this stuff. And they came in, they was having a meeting, some guy. Guy's been running the company since 1970. He's got a big stogie in his mouth, big cigar. He's like, Johnson, give me the report. How bad is it? Give me the news. And Johnson comes in, he's like, well, Mr. Oglestein, head of Oglestein Undergarments, it's not looking too good. He's like, oh, Jesus, I knew it. What's the damage now? Like, well, all the kids there, they're going commando. I knew it. Once they started shaving themselves, what about boxers? Boxers, they're underperforming, sir. Oh, Jesus, everyone's doing the boxer briefs. What about a crotchless panty department? Like, well, they're selling pretty good. We've rebranded them as transgendered undergarments, and they're performing pretty well. Like, all right. But sir, we have a problem. Johnson, what's the problem, Johnson? Well, we keep making the whole undergarment and then cutting the crotch out of the undergarment. What? Look, that's how my granddad did it. That's how my great-granddad did it. You make the panty, and you cut out the crotch. But sir, we have all these crotches for panties that we can't do anything with. And then Marcy comes in. She's the secretary. He's old school. He's got a stogie, still smokes in his office. Marcy comes in. She's like, how you doing, Mr. Ogilby? Not right now. Not right now, Marcy. How can I help you? Like, well, unfortunately, there's a pandemic. And she was wearing a mask. You're like, what's that on your face, Marcy? Oh, well, this is a mask I made. let me see that. Hand it here. And he gave it to her. He was like, Marcy, you're a genius. She's like, the only thing I did was take one of the crotches from the panties and put it on my face. You're like, that's it. You've saved this company, Marcy. So, like, now we're wearing masks. They're more COVID-friendly now, or COVID, I guess, fighting now. But that put that mom-and-pop panty shop back in the black. Because if a company's in the red, that means it's doing bad. So that's, you know, it was good for them. Speaking of this week, okay, so let me get back to this week. Real quick. Back in my day, brought to you by Nostalgia. Sha-na-na-na. When I was up until 14 years of age on this precious Mother Earth, men only had two options for underwear. Either you wore the 1940s big boxers, like the boxer underwear, or you wore tidy whities. There was no cool, like, little selection. And, okay, maybe your tidy whities came in a different color, but everybody knew those were kid draws. You know, the real men, they wore the boxers. You wanted that air. You wanted that air. But the problem with that freedom there was no support. All right, ladies, you know, you got your bras and different ones do different things. We had minimum selection. Either you was hanging out there like a savage, like, you know, gym class, you 12, 10, 12. You know, you had your little tight whites. You could be on a jungle gym. You could do a backflip from the swing. You was in there. You was safe. You was in the pocket, you know. Once you got 14, you was like, I don't want to wear. The kids wear the tighty whities. You know, the married divorced man eating Cheerios, sad and depressed with church socks on, wear tighty whities. But I'm a big boy. I want to wear the boxers, right? So you'd be in gym class trying to play basketball. And while you dribbling, you know, you be swinging. You dig what I'm saying? So when I was 14, oh, you also had the sexy boy bikini draws, but that wasn't in our realm of influence at the time, right? Now, I remember, about 14, some little dude was like, yo, man, you ever heard of boxer briefs? And I was like, nah, man, what's a boxer brief? He was like, it takes all the good things about tighty whities and incorporates them with boxers. And I was like, wow, incorporate. Was that one of our spelling words? He was like, yeah. I said, dang, I didn't do the homework. But anyway, I was real skeptical about them because to me, they're like biker shorts. These aren't like undergarments. They're like something you're supposed to exercise in. And oh, when I tell you, I put them on, changed my life. Changed my life. All right, so, yeah, just kids, you're lucky, all right? You got draws now. They got the micro-wick fiber in, and they got the cooling racing stripes on the side. And you know, it's a good time to it's a good time in draw history. Cause I mean, back in 1940s, you had like soldiers on battlefields dying in draws that was too big around the leg area and too tight around the waist. Just something to think about, man. One to grow on. Anyway, okay, so I got sidetracked. Talking about things that's good for people in this pandemic. I went to the gas station. I ran out of hand sanitizer. I keep hand sanitizer right in the cup holder. That way, when I go touch a doorknob, poop, poop, two pumps in the hand, wipe it off. When I, you know, that's just being safe. So I'm driving and I run out of my hand sanitizer. So I go to the gas station, right? Got my mask on. I'm like, I grabbed a Gatorade and he had some hand sanitizer. I'm looking at it. I'm like, man, what's the deal with the hand sanitizer? And I live in the hood, so the brother, he's Pakistani, Iranian, one of those, you know, Middle Eastern cats. But he's urbanized. Like, he's wearing all the cool clothes. I don't know what kids wear now. FUBU, Nike. He's got an earbud hanging out his ear. He's got his hair slicked back in some cool, like, David Beckham style. You know, he got his facial hair trimmed up. You know, he's hood approved. So anyway, he's behind the bulletproof glass. He still got the accent though. I said, yo man, what's the deal with your hand sanitizer? How much is it? He was like, $5.99. I was like, nah bro, $5.99 for that little bottle? $5.99, dude, come on man, that's price gouging. He didn't even say nothing to me. He slid it under the bulletproof glass. So he was like gave me a look, like, open it up, smell it. So I open it up, I give it a little whiff, I like, he was like, he gave me a look, try it out. Put it in my hand, he had the right consistency. I was like, man, it's that pure. It's that real. He was like, yep. Hey, he had a sale. I never thought in the midst of the pandemic I'd be buying hand sanitizer like I'm buying cocaine. Like, you know, seedy, you know, back alley. Like, I heard you. What, you walk in there with your hands all filthy and stuff. Yo, man, I heard you got that sunny. Yeah, I got the sunny. You got the money. Yeah, wait. I ain't gonna give you the money. Let me get a little taste. You always come in here asking for a taste, man. Hold your hands out. And you hold your hands out. Your hands all crusty and filthy. Like, look at you, man. You made me sick, man. Just come on, man. Give me a little squig. Just a little squig to get me through the day. Squig it. You got, once you squig it, you got to like sniff it, like. Yeah, man. That'll be $5.99, man. Oh, man, you're okay. Yeah. I just... It makes me happy. Also, this same week, I heard, you know, you hear stuff, but because, okay, I'm in line, again, behind bulletproof glass. That's just that's a hood safety precaution, so I don't take offense to it. I'm sitting there in line, it's two of us in line, and there's another person who's on the side. So it's a very small place. It was a liquor store. I ain't gonna say in sugarcoat it. I went to a liquor store. I was off, so you know, whatever. So I'm in line, waiting for the person in front of me to buy this stuff, and there's a person to the right of me on the cell phone, and she's an alcoholic. She's an older lady. I see her around the neighborhood all the time. That's all they do is hang out at the liquor store. I mean, literally hang out at the liquor store. It's just, it is where it is. It's the hood. So I hear on the phone, and she's like, she's talking to somebody. I really wish I could hear the other side of this conversation. So anyway, she like, man, I gotta get this taste out my mouth. And I just keep my head straight ahead. She was like, man, you know I woke up today and drunk bleach for the second time this week. And the person in front of me, you can tell somebody eyes cut to the right, like, what the heck? And then like the person in front of me looked at me too. She was like, I don't know why I keep drinking bleach. And I was like, at that point, you keep drinking bleach, you got a problem. I mean, one time, why is your bleach not in a clearly marked container, if not the actual container? I'm not judging. I mean, you know, growing up poor, sometimes you have to go ask a neighbor, yo, can I get a cup of sugar? But you didn't put the sugar right next to the dish, the powder, the washing powder. You kept them things. You wrote on it, if anything, like, this is sugar. Put an S on it for sugar. And yes, I said sugar. I didn't say sugar. So she had a cup of bleach, maybe because she was going to do clothes. I get that. But she'd be like, okay. The woman walked up like, hey, can I get a shot of bleach? And neighbor gave her a shot of bleach. And then, like, she had it right by her bed, which is a bad place for it. But then she wake up, she's like, oh, I'm mighty parched. They had like alcohol. Bam, take a shot of bleach. Wake up. Like Ray Charles, well, Jamie Foxx playing Ray Charles when he was like getting dope sick, like Clorox. So then what? She got to go over there and ask this person again for another shot of bleach. Ain't nobody washing that many white clothes. And then she falls asleep and she woke up. Oh, that's that Clorox. That's your power cleaning right there. But hey, the president said to take shots of bleach. So she was just ahead of the curve. Well, I guess behind the curve, technically. And also this week, this one made it, like, surreal, right? Wednesday or Thursday, one of those 2 days. I'm at the same convenience store. Because really, the only time I went to the convenience store, liquor store, came home. That was my whole weekend. And slept. It was awesome though, right? So I go to the convenience store and I hear there's two people in front of me. Like, so there's one person at the bulletproof glass. Jeez, all my places got bulletproof glass. Okay, one person in front of the bulletproof glass, another person behind him, and then me. Just three people. Everybody masked up like we ready to rob the place. But, you know, bulletproof glass. Anyway, I hear the guy in front. I hear him say, what'd he say? He was talking. He was hitting on the woman behind the bulletproof glass. But everybody hits on the woman with the bulletproof glass. Not me, but, you know, everybody else. And he say, man, I got that same shirt, man. But mine's still crispy. And then he said, ribbit, I say ribbit. I cleaned it up a little bit. But when he said ribbit, I say ribbit, that was a scene from a cartoon called Black Dynamite. Okay, to get in that, Kermit was like the leader of Islam, but Islam's with frogs. I don't know. It's on Adult Swim, Cartoon Network. Check it out. Black Dynamite. Anyway, he said, I say ribbit. I say ribbit. And I'm sitting there looking. I'm like, the voice sounds familiar, but the quote also sounds familiar. So I'm like, I was through my mask. I say, Black Dynamite? And he turned around and looked at me. And we've always had that connection. Like, he say something stupid or an obscure reference, and I catch it, right? So he turned around and looked at me. So now we're looking at each other like two gunslingers. And he pulled down his mask. I pulled down my mask. He said, "Tony." I said, "What's up, man?" He like, "Oh, man." So we put our masks back on, whatever. He like, "Yo, man, you mind giving me a ride?" I said, "Sure, man. You homie. You know, you can get a ride." We ain't homie, but, you know, I know him. Yeah, you can get a ride. Skip it. He like, "Oh, I live right down the way." So as we riding and stuff, he like, "Man, what's been going on with you?" I said, "Man, what's been going on with you?" He like, "Oh, man, life been hard." I was like, you never want to hear that, but you also hope that no one expounds on it. Ah, man, life been hard. Okay, well, you know, my life's been all right. So we started talking. We chopping it up in the car, right? So he like, "This is my house right here." Okay, pulled right in front of his house. And so we still sitting there. I got my windows cracked up. We sitting there, and I take a shot of my hand sandy. My handy sandy, bro. Right? Wipe my hands off. He wipe his hands off. We following social norms. Windows cracked. Mask still up. So anyway, we talking, you know, whatever. He telling me about his life and telling me about my life. Compared to his, mine sound a little bit better, but okay, cool. So he's like, "All right, man, it's good seeing you, man. I'll talk to you later." I say, "That's what's up, man. My number's still the same. I'm around." Right? So he gets out of my car. I drive. I go home, go to sleep. About 4 hours later, I wake up. So this is like about four or five. So about 11, I look at my phone. I got Facebook messages, which I don't do social media like that. So I'm like, I'm looking. These are people I don't know. They say, "Yo, dude say he left his phone in your car. He wants you to drop it off." I'm like, "All right, cool." So I go to my car and show a stank. His phone is sitting right there on the dashboard. I'm like, "Okay, cool, not a problem." So I get in my car, I drive over there, right? I knock on his door, he don't come to the door. Okay, cool. And I just slide his phone in the mailbox, no harm, no foul. As I'm walking away, there's an open pocket knife just sitting on the front step. I'm like, "Okay, this is a little concerning. It's a rough neighborhood. It's a knife. It's a nice knife. And because I drove over here again, I'm taking this knife." So take the knife. I send him a text like, "Yo, real quick, your phone's in your mailbox. And for me driving over here, I took your knife." Right? So he like, so I get home. As soon as I get home, I get a text like, "Hey, man, bring my knife." I'm like, "What?" He said, "Man, bring my knife, please." I'm like, "Okay, fine." Jump back in my car, drive over there. He like, "Dude, like, you took my knife." I say, "Bro, I ain't drove over in this bad neighborhood. It's 12 o'clock at night. 12 o'clock at night. Like, explain to me why you got an open pocket knife. Like, the blade is out. Why? Explain that to me." He was like, "Man, I was cutting my food with it." I was like, "Jesus, my man cutting food with, like, a pocket knife." I was like, "Well, bro, I pulled out. I had a big buck knife. I said, I was going to give you this for your cheap knife. But now since you want to..." So now he's sitting there with an open pocket knife. I'm sitting there with a buck knife. And he like, "Well, I like this one because it flip open." He closed it and he flipped it open like switchblade style. I'm like, "Yeah, but I'd rather have a big old piece of metal as opposed to, you know, some flimsy like little lock switch." He like, "My knife ain't flimsy." I say, "Yeah, well, whatever. I'll talk to you later." And then as I walked away, I was like, this is something I ain't seen in a very long time. And because we had nice conversations at one point, like, we're sitting here branching knives each other like 1 o'clock in a.m. Like, it was like this. I don't know. It was good seeing him again. I will say that. That's about it. No. Some people told me they missed the BTP news. But I haven't done it because the world's been crazy. So I'm going to try to do this, like, in real time. So let me find my song. Hold on. Give me one second.
This is the behind stuff scenes you don't see. All right, here we go. Where's the song at? Here we go. Let's see. No commercial. See, how smart I have to turn the sound down for that. Here we go.
Man, now it's time for the BTP news. Your home. No bad news.
Show up. Facebook buddies.
Instagram buddies. No bad news.
Show up. No bad news.
No bad news. No bad news. No bad news.
No bad news. All right. So, let's see. Gotta find my first door. Yeah, come on. Come on. All right. Okay. Colombia's rapidly breeding, quote, cocaine hippos must be stopped, scientist says. All right. So, if you're new to the BTP news, the premise is real simple. I find a headline that I think is funny. I try to come up with the story in my head. And then from there, I actually read the story. That way, we're all enlightened. Okay. Cocaine hippos. All right. Let's see. First and foremost, as much as I hate dolphins, hippos are terrifying. Do you know hippos kill more people a year than like tigers? Like, I think a hippo averages like 30, not just one hippo, but they kill like 35 people a year. Or either they run 35 miles an hour. Like, they have no problem messing you up. That Hungry Hungry Hippo game grossly undersold the veracity of a hippo. Alright, so we'll just start with that. Now, okay, you got cocaine hippos. So these hippos have somehow got an addiction to cocaine, right? And you know people do the wildest things when they hooked on that thing. You know, that smack, that booger sugar. They, you know, they not who they are. So if the average hippo can either run 35 miles an hour or it kills 35 people a year, one or two, like, a cocaine hippo would be ferocious, so I would imagine. For some reason, I see them wearing trench coats, which, and they walking on two legs, which I know they don't do, but makes my story funny. And they got, like, fedora hats. They like McGruff, the crime dog, but they got the crime problem, the drug problem. And plus, they got them big nostrils, right? So if they gonna snort cocaine, they snorting a lot of cocaine, right? So I think, like, you know those birds that be on the back of hippos? They probably, like, tried to have an intervention, a toucan Sam, and it was like, ever since you tried the cocaine, like, you're not the same person anymore. You don't let me perch on your shoulder. We don't talk about your day. I just want the hippo I used to know. And the hippo sitting there scratching like, look, man, I can quit anytime I want.
Like, well, prove it then. Stop right now. Stop it.
Hey, like, look, I got things to do. And scientists got involved. They were like, look,
cocaine is not good for the hippos. Please do not sell cocaine to hippos. They are endangered, and they're becoming antisocial, and it's a bad look, really. It's a bad look.
All right, so let's read the actual story. Let's see. Science say Colombia, which is a good place for cocaine, I've heard, must cull its so-called cocaine hippos that roam the Magdalena River Basin, as they are breeding voraciously and are an increasing menace. All right, the marshlands of Colombia have been home to these giant mammals since they were illegally imported in the late 80s by the notorious drug lord Pablo Escobar. When he was shot dead in 1993, the Colombian government took control of his extravagant estate, including his personal zoo. Most of the animals were shipped away, but four hippos were left to fend for themselves in a pond, and now there are dozens of them living in the wild. So they are related. And ain't nothing worse than defending one person of a family. How does the government say, what should we do with the hippos? What should we do with the hippos? And the president was like, it costs too much to ship them back. Let them fend for themselves. And now, like, because they out there doing the thing, it's like an early 1990s drug movie. You know, four hippos from, you know, Africa, Madagascar, I guess. They get out on the block, man. And, you know, the other animals that was probably from Colombia, like, hey, man, what you doing here, man? And they were like, we are just out here being hippos. Nah, man, get off the block. And next thing you know, that murder streak kick in. And just because we kill 35 humans, don't think. We don't just eat plants, huh? We eat alligators and crocodiles, all of them. And Crocodile Dundee if you run up. Okay, let's see. Most of the animals were shipped away. Okay. Although nobody knows exactly how many there are, because hippos move in silence. That's what gangs are supposed to do. Estimates put the total number between 80 and 100. Making them the largest invasive species on the planet. Scientists forecast that the number of hippos will swell to almost 1,500 by 2040. They conclude at that point, environmental impacts will be irreversible and numbers impossible to control. Hold on. There's a little bit more to this story. Let's see. Nobody likes the idea of shooting a hippo, but we have to accept that no other strategy is going to work. Look, man, I'm not running up on no hippo. Like, what do you shoot a hippo with? Huh? Like, what? Because ain't going to be no one shot, no kill, especially, you know, they got that. Nah, bro. Okay, let's see. Do I got another story up in here? Let's see. Okay, I've been holding this story for a while because, you know, life has been kind of hectic. It tickles me every time I see it. Okay. Female boxer arrested on suspicion of beating 61-year-old husband to death. All right. To take a person's life is not funny. It's never funny. But the... there are circumstances that raise an eyebrow, you know? And maybe, okay, this is how I'm seeing it. Maybe the wife took up boxing as just a way to get cardio, you know? Just, she on a Billy Blanks, you know? It ain't boxing, like, but it's boxing, I guess. Like, jab, jab, shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. You know, cha-cha slide, you having a good time. You play some, you know, some music or whatever, Zumba type music, but you're throwing like a little jab, uppercut. But you ain't knocking nobody. She had little pink gloves, you know, and her husband probably came through was talking, you know, he's 61. So maybe he was kind of old chauvinist, you know. Like she over there shuffling or whatever, and maybe she's a little older too. Maybe not as sexy as she used to be to him. And he just... crack a beer and he just say something mean on his breath, like, look at you. You're big like a cocaine hippo. You know, he got a little bald Archie Bunker head and she don't listen to him. She's like, whatever. Like, whatever. Like, you just jealous. He's like, jealous of what? Jealous of what? He's got his wife beat, his tank top. They call it wife beaters. I call them tank tops. He probably spears, got like beer stains on. These guys. Old man boxes on in the front. He got a little situation hanging out the little. I don't know what you call it. Not the pee hole, but I always call it the escape hatch. No man ever used it or whatever. He's got his big shirt. He got his high church socks on. He cracked his beard like, jealous of what? Huh? Look at you. Look at you, Gloria. No one's gonna want you. And she turned up the music a little loud, like, oh, Archie, you're so negative. But she works, work, work. And she does this. And see, as she's doing that, she's getting confidence. You know, she's building up herself internally as well as physically. She's doing something to better herself with the little pink gloves. And even though Archie is knocking Gloria down, she still, like, she buys like a little pink heavy bag. You know, she's punching the bag. And he comes in there, he makes a sandwich, wearing the same big old man boxers and stank tank top, grabs another beer. And like now his socks kind of drooping on one side, he pulls up a side like, why don't you cut this nonsense out? Huh? My dinner's late. Like, why are you out here doing this? She was like, Archie, leave me alone. Leave me alone, Archie. Like, Gloria, you know what? I've had enough of this. Put them boxing gloves down and put an oven mitt on. Get in here, take your shoes off, make me a sandwich, and quit trying to be something you're not. And then he like walked, and she's working on the heavy bag. She ain't paying no attention. And Archie puts his hand on Gloria's shoulder, and the instant kicks in. She turns around, hit him with an overhand right, bow! Don't put your hands on me. Don't touch me. Don't you touch me. And then from there, like, he stumbled back. He spills his beer, slips on a little pink weight, and cracks his head open. Sorry for the violent story, y'all, but it, equal opportunity, man. You know, women can beat guys to death, too. Okay, let's see. Here's the actual story. A leading woman boxer. Oh, okay. Well, we was way off on that one. A leading woman boxer has been arrested in Switzerland on suspicion of killing her husband, according to reports on Monday. Okay, this is a name I can't say. It's a Switzerland name. Vivian Obenorf, a three-time challenger for world boxing titles, is reporting being held on suspicion of beating her husband to death with a blunt object. Jeez. The 34-year-old Miss Obenorf was born in Brazil, but is a long-term resident of Switzerland. Okay. So she's 34. She's married to a 61-year-old. Yeah, right. Alright, her husband, a 61-year-old Switzerland restaurateur named only as Thomas F. under local privacy laws, was found dead in his restaurant. She came to the job. Oh, Jesus. Alright, in Interlaken in October. That's how long I've been holding on to this. He suffered trauma from a blunt instrument, and his injury suggests a sustained violent assault. See, and that's what I'm saying. Women, everybody was like, oh, women. She came to the man's job. He's probably like, look, not right now, Vivian. Like, I'm working on some sauce and stuff. She was like, so what, you think you're just going to? And since she was three-time champion, like, she, you know, she cocky. She got, like, the shoulder muscles, the Mike Tyson shoulder muscles. She was like, didn't I tell you to have my food ready? Look, Vivian, can we not do this right now? Like, I got people in the restaurant. Come on, working on new recipes, please. I promise you, when I get home, I'll make you something really nice, something Switzerlandish, something with Swiss cheese. I know you like Swiss cheese, and she's from Brazil. She's like, I like plantains. And she okay. All right, hold on. Let's get back to the store. Miss Overnerf has been in custody for a month and has only now been identified as the chief suspect in her husband's death. Suspects are not generally named under Swiss law, and prosecutors have refused to comment on her identity, but Switzerland's Blick newspaper claim have been confirmed by three independent sources. All right, anything else? Three independent sources. What? Miss Obenerf married Tom F. in January. Despite the 30-year difference, friends described them as a happy couple. But Miss Oberby reportedly moved out of their shared apartment in the nearby village of something. Local residents told Blick police arrived at her home in the village in four unmarked cars. You know what? They say, which maybe it's a stereotype, they say women, Spanish women, and I don't want to sound ignorant, but I guess she's born in Rio de Janeiro. So Latin women, Spanish women, Hispanic women, they have a spicy side to them. And I guess when you arm them with the tools to fight back, that's a dangerous combination. And Switzerland, like, typically as a country, they don't be in wars like other countries. I just see Mr. Thomas Obernerf as a white-haired gentle guy. And I just see she got that boxing braid. You know, women box, they had that braid, a little tight braid. All right, that's going to be the end of the episode. Thank you for tuning in. If this one was not agreeable to you, we'll try again next week. Be sweet to each other. If you're an MMA woman, don't MMA your husband. If you're a boxer, don't box your husband. Like, y'all loving each other. Y'all be sweet to each other. All right, please. Thank you. All right. Later.